I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. Great morning to you. Welcome. Yep. Welcome to your early morning energizer. Welcome to the morning faith boost. Now, I know that based on time zone, some of us are hearing this like late at night, right? Some of us are hearing this much, much later in the afternoon. All right. But I believe it still energizes your day. And I believe that the ongoing series has been quite enlightening. Yes. We're now on the third episode of How to Receive from God. I mean, it gets better and better and better and better and better. So welcome, welcome once again. And I believe we're having, you know, a very, very, very exceptional time. Glory to God. So we've been looking at, and it's interesting. So it's the third episode, two more to go this week because it's now Monday to Friday. But let's not rush, all right? Just most important thing is for you to understand what is being communicated, all right? Not just so that we know, okay, well, we're done. It's a series for the weekend and we're over with it. So please go over the first two episodes again for clarity, all right? In Matthew 13, when Jesus was teaching about the parable of the sower, he explained that those that fell amongst the wayside, all right, the seeds that fell amongst the wayside and the birds of the air picked up were those who heard the word of God, all right, but did not understand it. So it's important to understand what is taught, all right. Matthew adds that did not understand it part. You won't find that in Mark 4, but you see that in Matthew 13, they did not understand it. So Proverbs 4 tells us, in all you're getting, get understanding. So it's important to have understanding. So we've dealt with ignorance a little bit. Okay, we've dealt with you understanding God's will. Okay, because faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You do not walk into a restaurant and then you stand there demanding for what you don't know. You know, if they offer you, you want to know, okay, do you have this? Yes, we do. You go through the menu and then you, this is what you have. Okay, can I have this item over here? And then it's easier for you to wait in line knowing that you're making a demand for something that they offer. Faith begins where the will of God is known. But if you're there, you know, in the restaurant and you do not know, you're like, I know I want this. I don't know if you have it. I know I want that. I don't know if you have it. This is the menu. Check through the menu. So God's word, you know, is the menu as it were. So you look through the menu. This is what God has to offer. And in God's case, this is what he has offered already. This is what he has made available to every one of us. You understand that? Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So we're dealing with that important place. Okay, so let's jump straight again to Genesis. All right, we saw it, but we need to see it again. Genesis chapter 13. All right, Genesis 13. We look at the 14th and the 15th verse. Genesis 13, 14 and 15. Genesis 13, 14, 15. Genesis 13, Lot leaves Abraham. And then God begins to tell Abraham. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Genesis 13, 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. 15, for all the land which you see, to you will I give it and to your seed forever. Now, except Abraham was standing on like the highest of all mountains in that region, or like, you know, one of those kinds of, or one of the highest mountains in that region, Abraham naturally would not, cannot, all right, see the entire length and breadth and, you know, of the promised land. So obviously what Abraham might have had to work with was the power of imagination. What Abraham might have had to employ was a power of imagination. Of course, within where he's standing, all the way north, south, east, west, there's nothing else was going to see but land, right? And obviously not Sodom and Gomorrah. That would still be miles away from where he was. So God says, as far, you know, as your eyes can see, all right? King James says, for all the land which you see, to you would I give it. Question is, how far are we seeing? How far is what you see? Are you getting this now? All right, because yesterday I said something and it's, you know, it bears repetition. Very many times we want to receive from God. We're excited about what we're pulling from God. But then we come to God with a cup, all right? You say, let's go scoop all the blessings that God has for us today. Then show up with a teacup, all right? And that teacup, I'm saying, it relates to your mind. Already relates to your capacity to picture, your capacity to envision, your capacity to receive. Are you getting this? Your capacity to envision, your capacity to receive. It relates to it. And you've got to put this, you know, in the perspective that it belongs. How far can you see? How far can you see? How far are you getting that? Because Ephesians chapter 3:20, we love to quote Ephesians 3:20. It says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. So there's the asking part. There's the imagination part. Someone says, why are they listed there? Because what you imagine can influence what you're asking. Did you get that? What you imagine can influence what you're asking. Do you remember when Jesus said that these people worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me? Now, the context there is worship. They worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But the same applies, all right, in many other areas of life. You could say something, all right? Okay, so when we learned about meditation, all right, we mentioned confession and the, you know, principles behind it. I said faith must be in two places, the heart and the mouth. So we're going to run through this. So you understand that it's not about what comes out of your mouth alone. It must be backed up by an agreement with what is in your heart. Okay, so Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 lets us know that you have to believe in your heart, okay, that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then you confess him with your mouth and then you're saved, all right? So for with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto, you know, salvation. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. With the heart, 10 says man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 9 says that you have to believe in your heart, all right, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you have to confess him with your mouth that he is Lord. So you believe, there's something you are believing, all right? So if you're getting someone born again, for instance, say, do you believe in Jesus? I say, I believe. Do you believe in Jesus? I say, okay, let me, now you're born again. Yeah, but hold up. Someone else might say, I believe, but what the person believes is Jesus is a prophet. What the person believes is Jesus is a good man. What the person believes is Jesus is, you know, a philanthropist. What the person believes is Jesus is a Messiah. A Messiah. All right. So you have to be sure of what you know the person believes. And Bible makes it clear. You have to believe that God raised him from the dead. Are you getting this? So go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore speak. He didn't say, I guess, therefore have I spoken. We also guess, and therefore we speak. He didn't say, I hope, therefore have I spoken. We also hope, and therefore speak. So that the core of the heart, that believing part is important. Then we go to popular Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the thing which he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he says. Did you get that? So, because we're learning how to receive from God. So I'll take Mark 11:23 again. For Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed, all right, and be thou cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart, but believe that the thing which he says will come to pass, he will have what he says. So the issue in Mark 11:23, yes, is you will have what you say, but it's not just about you having what you say. Mark 11:23, yes, I'll say that again, says you will have what you say, but it's not just saying you will have what you say. No, it says you will have what you say that you believe in your heart that will come to pass. Are you getting that? You will have what you say, all right? But it has to be something you said and you believed it in your heart that this thing will come to pass. So we'll take the verse again. For Jesus said unto them, verily I say to you, whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and will not doubt in his heart, but believe that the thing which he says will come to pass, he will have what he says. So he's not having what he said, just that. He will have what he said or what she said that she believed will come to pass. So, and this is it. So you say something, 2-3 days, it's not happening yet. Then you give up. Then you give in. Then you begin to question. Oh, maybe it wasn't the will of God. Oh, maybe it wasn't the time of God. You know, and then you question. So So, you know, and then he said, but Bible says I have what I say. Yeah, Bible says you have what you say that you believe will come to pass. It's not just what you say. It must be backed up with an agreement in your heart. All right. So I'll go to popular Proverbs 23 and 7. So that will just come at this in a few different ways and then believe you're getting it. All right. Proverbs 23, 7. You know it. You could quote it. Proverbs 23 and the 7th verse of Proverbs 23. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hold on. we need to read through this, and then we bring out the point we need to for today. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. I'll take that again. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we're used to that part. But the latter part of the same verse says, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So he's saying someone could bid you to come for lunch, but he really doesn't want you to come for lunch. His heart is not there. All right? Or you're already with someone and says, oh, go ahead, you know, eat as much as you can. Oh, no, 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 it's all right. It's fine by me. But in the person, that person like, oh, no, why is this person around at this time? Why is this person around? So Bible is letting us know here that words are not enough, all right, to define, you know, the full thought that is communicated. So he's saying, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is far. So the real person you are dealing with is not the one who said something. The real person you are dealing with is the one who is thinking something, all right? So the person could say, oh, you're welcome, but inside person feels, no, you're not. As in like, you're really, really not. As in like, you're really, really, really not. So you don't hear that part. You don't know that part. But within, deep within, the person says, no, you're not welcome. So the real person is the thought in the heart. Now, if this, all right, from here, affects human communication. Are you getting that? All right, because that's what's happening here. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is far from you. So if the heart here defines the real thing being communicated, all right, then in Mark 11 and, of course, 2 Corinthians 4:13 and, of course, Romans 10:9-10, if also the heart there has a great impact on your confession of faith, why don't you think it will have a great, great impact on you receiving from God? Because it's by faith we receive from God. It's by faith we receive from God. It's by faith you receive from God. All right? So we'll go again to James chapter 1, all right, and the fifth verse of James. James 1, verse 5. All right? James 1, verse 5. James 1, verse 5. James 1, verse 5. I believe this is really blessing you. Please feel free, share, all right, this. Let somebody really, really, like, get blessed, all right? Let someone know they could just hook up on this. Just, anyway, let it be a blessing. Let's do good and, you know, do more good. I know you're doing a whole lot of good where you are in different areas. So just let's do more good and keep being a blessing. All right, so James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, of course, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. It says, Christ has been made unto us wisdom. All right, so, but the context here is it's operational wisdom. All right, I need to know what to do. I need to know how to go about it. So you could either just fan up the flames and believe I already have direction. Or I say, Lord, okay, so in this area, I need direction. I need light. It's fine. All right. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask from God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. I want you to see something first of all here. James begins by asking you to ask, but he begins by reminding you of the character of God. All right. James is saying, listen, ask, but this is the character of God. So James says, if any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So he says, ask. All right. But he ends by saying, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it will be given to him. So he's saying, listen, this is the character of God. God gives to all men liberally. God gives to all men freely. And God does not upbraid. God doesn't say, you know, I tried saying it to you yesterday. You didn't listen to me. Now you think, you know, you just want to come to me. Now I'm going to have your time. I don't have your time. I'm busy listening. I'm attending to like 4 billion people talking to me right now. You know, so like, just wait in line. You know, because that's going back again to, you know, what we learned on condemnation. It's part of the things that affects us. You know, there are very many believers that wake up every day and like, I don't think I'm important to God. I mean, God is listening to the prayers of bishops and archbishops and, you know, right bishops and left bishops, and he's hearing everybody's prayer right now. And I mean, who am I? And then, I mean, there are too many unbelieving songs that you unconsciously sing and they devalue you, you know, and say, but I'm but dust, oh God. Did God tell you that? All right. You know, yes, I mean, Adam was formed from the dust of the ground. But I don't think God showed up in a hospital when your mama was trying to give birth to you, and then he picked up some dust all over again. So don't say things about yourself. God doesn't look at you and say, hey, you teeny weeny puny useless dust, all right? So don't say things to yourself. I'm not saying man is not of dust, all right? Don't say, that new revelation. I'm simply saying, yes, all right, dust this flesh came from, and dust it will return to, yeah. But you don't find God, you know, putting it to your face. You're useless. You're just dust. So don't think that way. I mean, God said, I have engraved you upon the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. All right? God so rich in mercy with the great love with which he loved you. Even when you were dead in trespasses and sins, he made you alive together in Christ. All right? And he seated you together with Christ. Listen, God loved you so much. He loved you when you were not born again. How do you think you got born again? All right? You are the best, you know, of the best of the best. And God said, no, that guy has to enter heaven. If he doesn't enter heaven, no, come on now. God had his angels watch over you, all right? Yeah, I mean, many other people, God still has his angels watching over them, you know, but God will not force any of our wills, all right? So he watches over all of us, but he guided your steps, like he's still guiding many people's steps. And here you are today, you're a child of God. So you need to understand the character of God. God gives to all men freely. 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 I mean, in Mark 5, we see the popular story of the woman with the issue of blood. Bible tells us this woman, you know, that had the issue of blood for 12 years. She had spent all she had, you know, on physicians, and she didn't get better. Rather, she grew worse. And then Jesus did not come to her, you know, I mean, when she now tried touching Jesus, Jesus said, hey, don't touch me. You know, so I wasn't your first choice, all right? It was, yeah, you know, remember that there's someone like me, I'll be after you have spent all your money. I mean, after you were sick for like 9 years, my ministry had begun. You know, I don't know what year she met him anyway. You know, I mean, you could have, I mean, tried coming to me before wasting all your money out there. You know, and you find also that Jesus doesn't interview people before he heals them. Oh, you, how did you get sick? Ah, okay, that one is your own fault. Enjoy your sickness for a while. Enjoy your pain. Oh, you, what happened to you? You know, because someone might have HIV, and then you want to pray for a benefit. Is HIV? Now you cause it now. Enjoy it. It's very well. But God won't do that. God gives to all men liberally, and he will not upbraid. Hallelujah. He gives to all men liberally. He won't say, see, they told you not to expose yourself to coronavirus, and then you expose yourself to coronavirus. Enjoy your coronavirus, my friend. Go to isolation center now. God will give you healing because it's made available by the shed blood of Jesus, by the sacrifice of Jesus. God gives to all men liberally. See what you did now, messed up your business. See what you did and messed up your life. See what you did and you lost your job. See what you did. Suffer there. When you are done suffering, and I know, and the angels are telling me, heaven, she has suffered, oh Father. I mean, oh King. You know, because you just like, yeah, you know, so we beat ourselves on the head where God's help is available. God's arms are open wide. So don't downgrade yourself like, you know, the prodigal son and say, I'm no longer worthy. You know, just take me as one of the hired hands around here. God says, no, your status never changed. Your status was never, you know, degraded. No, you are who you are. So you need to think of yourself that way. I believe someone just still needs to hear this today. You are who you are. You are that bona fide child of God. He loves you. You are his heir. So straighten up. Raise your head. Chin out. Chest out. You are the King's kid. It's who you are. Hallelujah. It's who you are. So we're still in James 1. So you must understand the character of God. It's the character of God you find in Luke 11, 11 to 13. 13 says, if men being evil, Luke 11, 13. If men being evil, all right, from 11 begins to say, your son should not, cannot ask for, you know, for fish, for egg, for bread, and then you now give, you know, snake, you know, scorpion and stone. No, it says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more God? This is talking about the character of God. It's the character of God. You need to trust God. If many parents could even bend over backwards, work two jobs, work three jobs, just to make sure that children are fine, how much more God? So you find the Bible talking to us about the character of God. So here we see, hey, you need to understand God is willing, freely willing to bless you. All right? Context, yes, is wisdom. Verse 6, but let, this is the clause. Now you say, but I'm praying about it. But let him, let her ask in faith, nothing wavering. Did you get that now? Ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Did you get that? Whoever wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You're pushed left, pushed right. Would I get the wisdom? Oh, I don't know. Should I just manage things the way I am? Oh, I mean, you're wavering. Verse 7 is very emphatic. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. 8 is for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he will receive anything from God. So I want to get direction from God. So I want to know, should I stay where I am or should I relocate? So do I know? And the next minute I'm thinking, where I am is really not bad. Not bad. It'd be nice to go, but if it's somewhere else, but where I am is just not bad. And you know, you could stay on that spot for months. How do I know? I've been there. And then you don't pray out the thing you need to give attention to. So have you ever kept saying, you know, I need to pray about something. I need to pray about something. I need to pray about something. I need to pray. You know, saying I need to pray about it is not praying about it, right? You know that, don't you? You know that. I need to pray about it is not praying about it. You've not prayed about anything yet. God's like, yeah, I'm waiting for what you're about to pray about. I'm waiting for you to... You know, because you've not released your faith. You've not laid a hold on it to say, I receive. Mark 11, 24, what things soever you desire, so it you should have a desire. And that's what James is dealing with here, okay? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you have received. That's not double-mindedness, okay? And Jesus taught that, and that's what James is, you know, saying again in a different way. Mark 11, 24, please. What things soever you desire. So desire, number one. Number two, when you pray. Number three, believe you have received it and you shall have it. So you need to understand 4 points there. You know, because people say, oh, but Bible says I'll get whatever I ask for. Yes, correct, but not complete. All right, did you get that? What you said is correct, but it's not complete. God said what you will get what you ask for. All right, so you use Matthew 7:7, ask and shall receive. Yes, 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 yes. But now Jesus is teaching you further. James is teaching you further on just ask and shall receive. It says 4 things now. What things soever you desire. So you should have a desire. All right? Number 2, when you pray. So you pray about the desire. Are you getting that now? All right, so I desire XYZ. All right, so in the name of Jesus, I believe I receive XYZ. In the name of Jesus, I stake my claim over XYZ. You do that. Number 3 now says, believe you have received it. All right? The word receive them is to take. Believe you take. So we're learning how to receive. So you desire, you pray, you receive. How to receive. That's what we're learning, right? So you desire, you pray, receive. You believe you have received it. Not you believe you will receive it. Oh, I know God will heal me. I know God will turn things around. No, you are not yet believing you have received it. Jesus spoke here in definite terms, please. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received it. All right. We won't be able to do that anymore. We need to start rounding up actually. So whatever, what things soever you desire, I want to make reference to Romans 8. You could check it out. Romans 8 was saying to us, you could pick from verse 24. He said, what a man sees, nobody needs to hope for it. You don't hope for what you already see. All right. So in the same way, when you believe you received, you're not praying about it tomorrow. You don't say, eh, Father, you know, yesterday I believe I received it, but I really haven't received it. So I'm trying to ask you so you can stylishly, you know, I'm trying to stylishly remind you, you know, so that you know, no. All right. So we'll pick this up. Like I said, we're not rushing. If we spend the whole week just preparing us on this, you're already learning how to receive from God. I'm sure right now, right? You're like, oh, I think I've seen where I missed it. Sound like that already? Yep. You've seen where you missed it. So don't forget, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. So someone needs to do that right now. Yes, that's my missing point. Are you seeing that? I believe. I receive it. It's mine now. I haven't done that. You're not praying about it tomorrow. You're not praying about the day after tomorrow. No, you believe you receive it. You believe you receive it. And it ends by saying, and you shall have it. All right? Let's pause there. I'll explain this tomorrow. It gets better. Follow here, please. Follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Larry Rex. I'm always excited to bring God's word to you. Help share, help spread, and let's keep blessing more and more and more and more lives. Glory, glory, glory to God. See you tomorrow. Bye.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.